ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं जयं उदीरये। Who is this? Okay, Nashta. Prayeshu. Prayeshu.
Prayeshu.
Abhadreshu.
Abhadreshu.
Nityam. भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so we'll just chant these verses and then we'll continue.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Dhritarashtra Uvacha.
Dhritarashtra Uvacha.
Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre.
Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre.
Samaveta Yuyutsavaha. मामकः पांडवाश्चैव किम् अकुर्वत संजय संजय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकम् व्यूढ़ दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यम् उपसंगम्य राजा वचनम् अब्रवीत् पश्येताम् पाण्डुपुत्राणाम् आचार्य महतीं च मूम् व्यूढां द्रुपदपुत्रेण तव शिष्येन धीमता अत्र शूरा महेश्वासा भीमार्जुन समायुधि युधानो विराटश्च द्रुपदश्च महारथः धृष्टकेतुश्चेकितानः काशीराजश्च वीर्यवान् पुरुजित कुंती भोजश्च शव्यश्च नरपुंगवः युधामन्युश्च विक्रांता उत्तमौजश्च वीर्यवान् सौभद्रो द्रौपदेयश्च सर्व एव महारथः अस्माकं तु विशिष्टाये तानि बोधाद्विजोत्तमा नायका मम सैन्यस्य संज्ञार्थं ताम्रवीमि ते Okay, so I want somebody to read the translations. One person can read. Shanaya, would you like to read? Who is this?
Anika.
Okay, so you read few, then maybe after that Shanaya I'll ask. Just, yes, read that. You read all the seven translations. So everybody listen carefully whatever is being said, then I'll explain what is happening here. Yes.
Rashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do?
Yes, next text.
Sanjaya said, O King, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words.
Yes.
O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, expertly arrayed by your intelligent disciple, the son of Draupada.
Yes.
Here in this army, there are many heroic bowmen, equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Duryodhana, Virata and Draupada.
Yeah,
there are also great heroic powerful fighters like the Ketu,
Chekitana,
Kashi Raja,
yeah, Purujit, Kunti Bhoja,
and Sebya.
Yes.
These are the mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful
Uttamauja,
the son of Subhadra and the son of Draupadi. All these warriors are great giant fighters.
And last one, seven.
But for your information, O best of Brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force.
Okay, thank you. So, last time we discussed how this Bhagavad Gita begins with a question by Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra means one who steals others' kingdom and property. And we discussed how Dhritarashtra had not been directly involved but indirectly involved, since he had supported Duryodhana, who was directly trying to cheat the Pandavas out of their kingdom. So he was also equally responsible, because in any act, three people are held equally responsible. They are the doer, the director, and the supporter. Even if you're not directly involved in any act, but if we support or if we direct, then we are also having to share equal amount of karma, the reaction. So Sanjay, who is the secretary, we discussed five reasons why Dhritarashtra was fearful. One was because Krishna was on their side, Pandava's side, and as a result they would win, because dharma and adharma, dharma always wins eventually. And it is a dharmic place, Kurukshetra, so it would increase the power of the dharmic forces, which are the Pandavas. It would decrease the power of the adharmic forces, irreligious people like Duryodhana and his party. It might change Duryodhana's mind, purify his contaminated consciousness, and he might just hand over the kingdom back to Pandavas without the fight, which Dhritarashtra did not want. And then he also said that it is a place called Kshetra, Dharma Kshetra. So naturally dharma is expected to grow, and adharma would be wiped out, like the weeds are wiped out. So do you all remember this, these points vaguely to some
yes.
extent?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
So the question was, Dhritarashtra asked a question. Sanjay, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do when they assembled in the place of pilgrimage called Kurukshetra? So Sanjay starts explaining. There are 700 verses in the Gita. So in the next 11 verses, Sanjay explains what the sons of Dhritarashtra did. And the rest of the Gita, he explains what the sons of Pandu did. Because he also wanted to talk about more pious people, virtuous people. For Duryodhana and his people, only 11 verses. And he explains Dhritarashtra in the text number 2. He said, don't worry, as soon as Duryodhana saw the military formation of the Pandavas, he immediately went to his teacher and spoke the following words. So we discussed one very important point. Why was Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, why were they fearful, anxious, despite having all the power and everything at their disposal? Why were they fearful? Why were they anxious? Why were they not happy?
Prabhuji, because Krishna was on their side, on
no,
the Pandavas side.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because the Pandavas were dharmic people and the...
No.
Because they were sinful.
Who said that?
Sanvi.
Yes, right. Because they were sinful. So naturally, people who are sinful, even if they have everything in life, they will always be unhappy. So we should never engage in activities which are sinful, wrong activities. Okay, so then Duryodhana, as soon as he saw the military formation of the Pandavas, he got really scared, because he had never imagined that Pandavas could gather so much army. They had been living in the forest for 13 years, and still they had gathered 7 Akshauni army. We discussed how much is 1 Akshauni, you can even Google. So he was very, very scared. How the hell did they get so much army? And out of great anxiety, he went to his teacher Dronacharya. So Duryodhana was the kind of person who never focused on what he had. He always focused on what the Pandavas had. And such a person is always unhappy. When you lose focus of what blessings you already have, and you keep focusing on what others have and what others don't have, then you are always anxious. We should rather focus on our own blessings, and that way we'll be happy. But an envious person is only bothered about, okay, how can I make the other person happy? How does he have more than me? That way we'll always be anxious. Rather than that, we should focus on what we have and not on what we don't have, and not on also what others have. That's very, very important. So Duryodhana, in great anxiety, went to his teacher, and he said he is not going to his teacher out of respect. He is going to point out his faults. Therefore you see the words, he says, oh my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupad. Who was the teacher of the Pandavas and the Kauravas? Who knows?
Dronacharya.
And he was fighting on whose behalf?
Kauravas.
So Duryodhana went to him and he said, look what you have done. He went to point out his mistakes. He was not respectful, Duryodhana, ever. He was like a fly. He was not a bumblebee. He said, look at the mistake you have done. It's your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupad, who is the commander-in-chief of the Pandava army now. Why did you teach him? You all know the story? No. So,
no problem.
Okay, so the story goes, you want to hear the story?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So, Dronacharya and Drupad. Drupad, when they were little children, they were studying in the school, Gurukul. And they became very close friends. So Drupad was the son of a king and Dronacharya was the son of a Brahmana. Brahmanas are generally poor. So once they were sitting and Drupad was so happy, Dronacharya, out of friendship, he said, you know, Dronacharya, when I grow up and become the king, I'll give you half of my kingdom. He made that promise. And then they grew up, they completed their education, they went back, and after some time, Drupad became the king. And Dronacharya, of course, remained poor and he had a son named Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama wanted to drink some milk. So Dronacharya thought, let me go and get a cow. So first he went to Lord Parashuram, the warrior incarnation of the Lord. If you all remember, we had done during Dashavatar. So Lord Parashuram said, I have already completed giving my charity. Then Dronacharya remembered his friend from childhood, Drupad. He went to him and Drupad, he actually insulted him. He said, friendship can only be among equals. So Dronacharya felt very hurt. And he came back and he was burning with anger. He wanted to take revenge from Drupad for the insult. Now, as a Brahmana, he should have just tolerated. Everyone has certain qualities which one is supposed to exhibit. Brahmanas are supposed to be tolerant, but he did not tolerate and he decided to take revenge. And he was thinking, who could defeat Drupad? Who would be more powerful than Drupad? He understood it was the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So he went to Hastinapur, which is present-day Delhi, and there Bhishma hired him as a teacher of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, because Bhishma knew Dronacharya was the best teacher around that time. So Dronacharya started teaching the Pandavas and the Kauravas with that revenge in mind against Drupad. So he was thinking that once the education is complete, when the time for Guru Dakshina comes, because all the students are supposed to give Guru Dakshina, so he thought, I will ask the Pandavas and the Kauravas to capture Drupad and bring him to me as my captive prisoner. So that's what happened. So the education was complete, and when they asked for Guru Dakshina, Dronacharya said, bring Drupad as my captive. So throughout their education, the Pandavas has excelled in every field. They were always number one, and that was a great cause of envy, concern for the Kauravas. Now when Dronacharya asked for a Guru Dakshina, the Kauravas thought here was their opportunity to impress their teacher, because otherwise he was only praising the Pandavas. So all the 100 Kauravas, they went and they attacked Drupad. And Drupad single-handedly defeated all the Kauravas, and they came. So the Pandavas also wanted to attack at the same time, but Arjuna said, don't worry, stay back. Let them go. If they want to go first, they will be easily defeated. So when the Kauravas could not, they came back thoroughly defeated. At that time, Arjuna went, surrounded by the 4 brothers, and easily captured Drupad. And they brought Drupad back to Dronacharya. So Dronacharya now insulted Drupad. For a Kshatriya, a person who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. So he said, so Drupad, do you remember our friendship? Now at least. But how can there be a friendship? Friendship can only be among equals. Now I own your entire kingdom and you are a beggar. So how can there be a friendship? between us. But I remember our childhood, so what I'll do is I'll give you half of my kingdom. So this way, in begging, Drupad got back half of his kingdom, which was a great insult. But at that point of time, he did not say anything. He went back happily, okay, I'll be happy with half of the kingdom. So Dronacharya took half. But now Drupad was burning with revenge. So he decided to perform a yajna by which he could get a son who would kill Dronacharya in future. He went to many, many rishis, but most of them refused. But then one of them agreed, two of them agreed. So out of those two brothers, only one agreed. So he performed a yajna from which he got a son who actually appeared from that yajna kund. That son emerged on a chariot of powerful armor, weapons in hand. And this son was named Drishtadyumna. And Drupada was thinking that Arjuna was very powerful, and he was impressed by Arjuna because Arjuna had conquered him. So he was happy with Arjuna's prowess. So he wanted to have a daughter who would later on become the wife of Arjuna. So he was thinking, if Arjuna becomes my son-in-law, then my power would increase. Naturally, he would not conquer me. He would not try to attack me. So my power would become more than double. And he was also impressed, and he wanted Arjuna to be his family member. So that yajna, two people came out. One was Drishtadyumna, who would kill Dronacharya in future. And second person came out was, guess who
Draupadi.
Came out? A daughter. Yes, Draupadi.
Draupadi.
Draupadi came out.
Draupadi.
Who later on became the wife of Arjuna. So now Drishtadyumna has been born, and as a father, Drupada was thinking now, who would be the best teacher? Who would be the best teacher to teach my son? And who was the best teacher at that time? Around?
Dronacharya.
So Drupada sent his son Drishtadyumna to Dronacharya only for study. Just imagine, he has got this son to kill Dronacharya, and he's sending him to Dronacharya only to learn the art of weaponry, military science. And Dronacharya, guess what Dronacharya did when Drishtadyumna came to him, son of Drupad? What did he do?
He agreed to teach him.
As a liberal Brahmana, he agreed to teach him, even though he knew that this boy was born to kill him. So this is the kind of dharma people followed in the previous yugas, that they would not give up their duties. There would be no personal enmity, at least against the family members. So Dronacharya taught Drishtadyumna, and it was this Drishtadyumna who was now standing as the commander-in-chief of the Pandava army. He had arranged the military formation, which was pointed out by Duryodhana to Drupada. That's why he says, he's very sarcastic here. He's saying, why did you teach him? And he's not saying Drishtadyumna. He's very cunning. He says, behold, dekho zara, kya kiya hai tumne? Behold means dekho, the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple. There is a lot of emphasis on your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupad. Why did he not mention Drishtadyumna? Because Dronacharya had enmity with Drupada, so he wanted to incite Dronacharya by mentioning Drupad, so that he would get angry and he would fight with all his might. And Dronacharya, as I said, Duryodhana is very, very anxious. He's like kind of haunted by fear. And when a person is haunted, he speaks something which he doesn't want to speak. So what happens here? He's so bewildered by seeing the army of the Pandavas, he starts glorifying the Pandava warriors only. He says, look at this. In this army, it's not just Bhima and Arjuna. There are other great fighters also, like Yuyudhan, Virat, Drupad, Drishtaketu, Chekitan, Kashiraj, Puruchit, Kunti Bhoj, and Shabya. Powerful fighters. Then there is Yudhamanyu, Uttamauja. Son of Subhadra is who? The son of Subhadra?
Abhimanyu.
Abhimanyu. and the sons of Draupadi. And the sons of Draupadi. Says all these warriors are great chariot fighters, Baba. एक तो आपने you have taught this Drishtadyumna and there are many other powerful warriors like Bhima and Arjuna. How will we win? He's so anxious, despite the fact that he had all the powerful warriors on his side. So at this point, then he suddenly remembers, "Arey, what is he doing? In front of his own army, he is glorifying the enemy. What would it do to their inspiration, to their morale?" So suddenly he realizes, he says, and you see, he's so bewildered. Nobody has asked him to explain all this. But this is what a person who has gone crazy acts like. He said, "But for your information, O best of the Brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force." Aap sochiye, nobody has asked him. He's going on telling on his own only. This is what happens when a person is haunted. He just goes on speaking unnecessarily. Now, text number 8 onwards, we'll recite the verses and then we'll explain also. Ready, everyone?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes. Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha. Ripascha Samitim Jayaha. Ashwatthama Vikarnascha. Saumadattisthathaiva cha. Anye cha bahavah shura. Madarthe tyakta jivitaha. Nana shastra praharanaha. Sarve yuddha visharadaha. Aparyaptam tadasmakam. Balam bhishma bhirakshitam. Paryaptam tidametesham. Balam bhima bhirakshitam. Ayaneshu cha sarveshu.
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu.
Yatha bhagam avasthitaha.
Yatha bhagam avasthitaha.
Bhishmam eva bhirakshantu. Bhavantah sarva eva hi. Tasya sanjanayan harsham. Puru vritha pitamaha. Simhanadam vinodyakshe. What happened?
Prabhuji, your voice has become low.
Maybe the Wi-Fi is an issue. Now?
Yeah.
Okay. Tasya sanjanayan harsham.
Tasya sanjanayan harsham.
Guru vriddhah pitamahah.
Guru vriddhah pitamahah.
Simhanadam vinodyocche. Shankham dadmau pratapavan.
Shankham dadmau pratapavan.
Tataha shankhascha bheryascha.
Tataha shankhascha bheryascha.
Panavanaka gomukhaha. Sahasebhyabhya hanyanta.
Sahasebhyabhya
hanyanta. Sa shabdastu malo bhavat. Okay, Shanaya, now you can read text number 9 to 13.
Okay.
Yes. Or read from 8. Actually, 7 say you read. I'll explain from 8 so that we understand the link here. Duryodhana is telling now about his warriors. Yes.
But for your information, O best of the Brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force.
Yes.
There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa,
Ashwatthama,
and the son of
Somadatta
called
Bhurishrava, yes,
who are always like victories in the battle.
Who are always victorious in battle. Okay, and text number 9. Sorry. Okay.
There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives
for my sake.
All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science.
Yes, very nice. Yeah.
Our strength is immeasurable, and we are perfectly protected by Grandfather Bhishma.
Right.
Whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited.
Yes.
If all of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhishma as you stand at your respective strategic points of
entrance
into the phalanx of the army.
Yes. Well.
Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of Guru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy.
Yes.
After that, the conch shell trumpets and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sounds were tumultuous.
Yes.
Tumultuous.
Yes, thank you. So now Duryodhana starts telling about his warriors, although nobody has asked him. Text number A, there are personalities like you. Who is the you here? You is Drona, because he's standing in front of Drona. Then he mentions Bhishma. Now, in this entire army, Bhishma was the senior most. So ideally, he should have mentioned Bhishma's name first. But he deliberately mentions Drona's name first, just to flatter him. Duryodhana was like, he always expected honor, respect from others. And there is a saying that we see this world as a reflection of our own consciousness. So he was thinking that Drona was also like him. So if Drona is also not given that proper respect, he would feel bad, just like Duryodhana himself felt bad if nobody gave him proper respect. So even if people did not disrespect him, Duryodhana would sometimes feel disrespected. So he thought others were like him also. So he therefore mentioned Drona's name first. Then he mentions Bhishma, Karna. Now Karna was not on the battlefield at that point. He entered the battlefield on the 10th day. but he was very much on Duryodhana's mind. Kripacharya, Ashwatthama, Vikarna. And now Vikarna was not a very powerful warrior, but he was the brother of Duryodhana, and he had during that gambling match in which the Pandavas were cheated out of their kingdom, Vikarna had supported the Pandavas. So Duryodhana mentioned his name just to make him feel good so that he doesn't go to the Pandava side at this moment. And the son of Somadatta, he's mentioning his own people now, Bhurishrava. There are many others, he says, who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science. So he has mentioned some of the names, but he is thinking, oh, what others might feel bad. So he says there are many others also who are prepared to lay down their lives. But then he realizes that the main person is Bhishma Pitama. He is the commander-in-chief and has not been glorified. He will feel bad. He is thinking like that. So therefore in text number 10 he says, you know, but our strength is immeasurable because it is protected by grandfather Bhishma. Whereas the strength of the Kauravas, Pandavas is limited. It is protected by Bhima. So in front of Bhishma, Bhima was nothing, he thought. So he is now trying to flatter Bhishma. And please understand, nobody has asked him anything. He is just haunted by fear. And he is fearful because he is sinful. And then he is realizing, hey, but what about others? Others might feel bad again. So he says, no, just to give them some sort of importance, he says, now all of you must give full support to grandfather Bhishma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. Now text number 12 is very important. Now Duryodhana is continuing to talk, and Bhishma, what he does is, as we see in text number 12, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. Now Bhishma Pitama is a very, very, very great soul. He doesn't like to be praised. He likes to respect others, but he doesn't expect respect from others. That's why he's always very peaceful, and he doesn't like being flattered. Just like he knew this, Duryodhana was not glorifying him out of the respect, but these were just words of flattery. So he didn't like it. So as a great, great devotee of the Lord, Bhishma was a very, very great devotee of the Lord. He never liked to be praised by anybody. In this world, we see everybody just looking for praises, and everybody is looking for name, fame. But we may have it by our destiny, but in our consciousness, we should be thinking, oh, I must respect all others, but I should not be insulted, or I should not even expect respect from others. I should not even feel bad when others don't respect me. That way we'll remain happy, because the only thing within our control is to give respect. Now whether others will give us respect or not, that should not define our happiness or distress in life, because people have their own individual personality and they act according to that. But things which are within our control, we should focus on that. Giving respect is in our control. So we should be very, very respectful to our elders, and very friendly to our equals, and very, very loving to the younger ones. But it should all be done in a mood of selflessness. Generally what happens is when we are nice to others, if they are not nice to us, we become very angry, we are upset. But that should not upset us, because everybody behaves according to their nature, and we must focus on our own nature. Like there was a sadhu, once he was taking bath in river Ganga. So he saw a scorpion was struggling. So this sadhu picked him up with his own hands. And as soon as he picked him up, the scorpion bit him, and immediately he became restless. The sadhu threw him into the river again, And after some time, he again picked him up and he saw the scorpion struggling. Again, he was bitten by the scorpion. And again, this was happening. There was a person standing on the bank of the river, banks of Ganga. He said, "My dear sir, why are you doing this? Again and again, he's biting you, still you're picking him up, trying to save him." So this saintly person said, "Look, this scorpion is acting according to his nature. And I am a saint, I am a sadhu, so I must act according to my nature. Just because this scorpion is biting me, why should I give up my nature? Why should I give up my goodness?" And as we discussed last time also, we are rewarded for our goodness eventually, and for the wrong things that we do, we are punished also. So we should always keep up the good work. Just because others are not behaving the way we want, others are not responding the way we want, and which is anyways not in our control, we must focus on things which are within our control, our growth, our learnings, our behavior, our response to situations, how we respect others. All these things we must be focusing upon, and we must maintain our goodness. So Bhishma Pitama was like that. Duryodhana was just the opposite. So Bhishma never liked to hear his own praise. He wanted to praise others. He always saw the good in others. He was like a bumblebee. And it is also explained in the scriptures that praising oneself or expecting praise for oneself, it is like committing suicide. Because why? Because if we always want to be praised and people are always praising us, then we tend to become proud. We start feeling actually that we have all those qualities. We should always think, if somebody praises us, that, oh, this person is seeing the good in me because he is good, he has a very good heart. And if somebody criticizes us also or insults us also, we should understand it has got nothing to do with us. This person is criticizing me because he has an impure heart. So both the things have nothing to do with us. That way we'll remain very humble, because pride comes before the fall. Pride is very, very, very bad. We may have all the best things in the world, we may be achieving the best things in the world, great accomplishments, but if we are proud, then nobody will like us. And pride comes before the fall. So therefore, just to avoid that pride, we should always focus on giving respect, being good to others, without expecting. If they are good, that's their goodness. If they are bad, that's their lookout, that's their karma. But we should try to be good to others. So Bhishma Pitama, he did not like to be praised. And he knew Duryodhana was just continuing to talk and he was just speaking all nonsense. So just to shut him up, and also to just cheer him up also, because after all, he was the grandfather. He picked up his conch shell and he blew it loudly. And sound has immense power. Especially conch shell, the sound of the conch shell is extremely purifying and powerful. It gives joy. Conch shell is found in the hands of Lord Vishnu. It is a symbol of victory. So he blew his conch shell and that sound gave some sort of joy to Duryodhana. And after that, because the commander-in-chief had now sounded his conch shell, others also started blowing their conch shells, drums, trumpets, bugles, horns. And this way, they declared it was the beginning of the war. Now, important thing to note here is that we are mentioning how this sound of the conch shell gave Duryodhana a lot of joy. So sound, see, our mind is very, very sensitive to the type of sound we hear. So we must always expose ourselves to positive sound vibration. For example, there is a nice story. In Latin America, there are certain villages where there are big trees, really big trees, and they have to use big machines to cut those trees. But there are some trees which are so big even the machines can't do anything about. So, and you will be shocked to hear what they do to uproot those trees. And this is really happening. It's not some story, made up story. So these big trees, they cannot be cut down with big, big machines also. So one person from the village, every day, he climbs that tree for 1 month. And every day for half an hour, he shouts abuses at the tree. He just insults the tree. And this goes on for 1 month and for half an hour every day. And after 1 month, an amazing thing happens. The tree comes down on its own. The tree gets uprooted on its own, succumbing to the negative sound vibration. An important thing is that tree does not have evolved consciousness. Still, such a living entity, trees are living entities, falls down, gets affected by the negative sound. So imagine humans, all of us have much more evolved consciousness. How careful we must be to expose or not expose ourselves to the negative sound. And therefore, I always suggest that don't listen too much to what the news channels are telling you. Don't be too much on social media, Facebook. Don't read too much on what is coming on WhatsApp, because a lot of negativity is being spread around, and you may just go through it, read it, but what happens is when you watch these things or when you hear these negative things, they subtly make an impression on our minds, and then these things keep coming out. So suddenly we start feeling depressed, suddenly we start feeling anxious, suddenly we start feeling low, and we become negative also in our other duties, in our studies, in our behavior. All this is very, very dangerous. Depending on the kind of sound we hear, our consciousness gets molded. The state of our mind is decided by the kind of sound we are subjected to. So always keep yourself surrounded by positive sound. And more than positive sound, we must expose ourselves to divine sound. That's why I'm making all of you recite these verses of the Gita, because this is divine sound. So what it does is, when we hear from the Gita regularly, like we are doing every week, is that we are exposing ourselves to divine sound. It works two ways. It destroys the previous negativity that might have entered our mind, destroys those impressions. Secondly, it also builds an armor around our consciousness, around our mind, so that further negativity cannot enter and we can always be protected. So just to keep ourselves protected from all kinds of negativity, negative sound, we just expose ourselves to divine sound vibration. It could be the names of God, the prayers that we chant in the beginning, it could be the words of the Gita, because the words of the Gita, they are coming from God directly. So that way our mind becomes very, very strong. Our intelligence becomes very, very strong. And when our intelligence becomes strong, then we can take the right decisions in life. We will know what to do, what to avoid, what to do, what not to do. All that becomes very easy. So now Bhishma has blown the conch shells, and so have the Kauravas. Now it's the turn of the Pandavas. So text number 14 onwards till 20, we will discuss next week. There are five signs indicating that the Pandavas would come out victorious in the battle. It was kind of match fixed. It was already indicated that the Pandavas would be victorious in this battle. And what were those five signs, we will discuss next week. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And please, as I said, keep exposing yourself to this kind of sound. You can offer prayers. We had done Dashavatar also. Hope all of you are reading it also. It just takes 5 to 7 minutes every day. Spend some time praying, chanting. And you can also try to remember whatever we are discussing on Sundays. Discuss with your brothers, sisters, your family. And that will keep you exposed to the right kind of sound. And depending on that, the state of mind, the state of mind depends on that. It is very, very, very sensitive to the sound. Remember the example of the tree. Does not have an evolved consciousness, still it falls down, getting affected by the negative sound. And we humans have a lot more developed consciousness. So we have to be very, very careful. Don't listen to any kind of negativity, whether it is on social media or it's from your friends, anybody who likes to criticize, find faults or talk negative. It's better that we don't listen to that, we stay away. Otherwise, it's just a matter of time we get affected. Instead, counteract that by hearing the divine sound. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.